A Tale of Two Tax Overhauls. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. We now have two tax overhaul plans, one from the House and one from the Senate, just released yesterday. They both would cut the corporate tax rate from 35% down to 20%. They both double the standard deduction. They both lower taxes on wealthy estates. There are dozens of differences, however, and a big one comes down to timing. The Senate wants to hold off on lowering that corporate tax rate until 2019. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
The Senate proposal backpedaling on the corporate tax cut isn't going to be popular with corporations or the president, but it might solve a math problem. The tax plan can't lose more than $1.5 trillion in tax revenue over the next decade. Len Berman is a fellow at the Urban Institute.
So they're going to have to find ways to cut the cost of the bill. And by postponing the corporate tax for a year, they can save over $100 billion.
If the tax cut is delayed, businesses will have to adjust. But any stimulation as the result of a tax cut is conjecture, says UCLA business law professor Steve Bank.
If the top rate ever mattered for economic growth, and that's debatable, then delaying a cut in the top rate for a year is going to affect projections.
The Senate bill preserves proposals for immediate expensing of capital investments next year. Bank says as long as that's true, the tax rate might not matter much. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Another difference we're seeing between the Senate and House tax plans is which deductions are being killed off and which are being saved. The Senate, for example, wants you to still be able to deduct certain medical expenses. The House does not. From our health desk at WHYY, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein has more on this split.
Right now, you're eligible for the medical expense deduction if your bills run more than 10% of your total income. Typically, that's people who get super sick or need long-term care. Last year, about 9 million Americans claimed the benefit.
It's not a large fraction of the population, but for those people, it mattered a lot.
Howard Gleckman with the Brookings Tax Policy Center says, on average, the deduction was worth $10,000. If that goes away, people will end up with less care.
And the consequences of that could be that they would be sicker than they need to be. It could mean some people would die.
House lawmakers say expanding the standard deduction would offset some costs for individuals. But Joe Antos with the American Enterprise Institute doubts the House is really ready to take support away from people with serious expensive medical conditions.
That does not play well.
Antos predicts Republicans will ultimately find less controversial deductions to take its place. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 0.4% range, with the Dow future down 57 points. President Trump visited Vietnam today, where he struck a defiant tone, telling the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Summit that the U.S. would no longer tolerate what he called chronic trade abuses. Chad Bown follows trade policy at the Peterson Institute and argues the president risks making it difficult to get the very deals he says he wants when it comes to trade.
President Trump made a number of trade policy announcements earlier this spring when he came into office to signal really that he was going to pursue this America First trade policy. And the reaction from a number of our allies was anger. The most recent example of this taking place was in a really under-the-radar trade policy decision that the Commerce Department makes about tariffs that it might impose on regional jets or jets coming in from Canada from this Bombardier company. Now, this is a case that typically flies under the radar, but the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and the UK Prime Minister Theresa May actually had to threaten the United States that it would retaliate with tariffs of its own. And the publics of these countries are now up in arms as well. They're very worried that their jobs are now being threatened by President Trump's protectionism.
But, you know, if Mr. Trump says it's time to assert U.S. interests more boldly, isn't that what he's doing? You know, we're the ones with the power, the big markets. Why not push harder?
Trade deals have to be win-win. So it has to be an agreement between two countries. If there is no agreement, there is no deal. If the populations of the United Kingdom or Canada or Mexico are so infuriated by President Trump's actions, they're not going to allow their leaders to sign deals with President Trump.
The president just yesterday wrapped up his trip to China. He was much more conciliatory than he has been in the past, but he still made a point of saying that China has taken advantage of the U.S. Does he not have a point there? If one goes to China, you'll see, you know, that all kinds of U.S. companies are blocked from doing business there. Facebook, Google, Gmail, Dropbox, the list goes on. Does he not have a point?
President Trump is absolutely correct and has a very good point. There is a real concern about the behavior that the Chinese government is undertaking in areas of information technologies, as well as advanced manufacturing. So if you think about automobiles, electric cars, the approach that the Chinese have taken is to force American and Western companies to engage in what's called joint ventures. So they have to find a local partner within China to be able to do their production, to be able to sell their products within the Chinese market. And frequently, they also have to share that technology with the local partner. The concern is that Western companies don't want to do this. This is really potentially unfair behavior.
What's the administration's plan to deal with this problem?
So their plan right now, we don't know. They're investigating the issue. They've recognized that it's a likely concern, but what actions they're actually going to take when they complete their investigation is really unclear.
Chad Bown is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer this week is Brian Allison. And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.